And suddenly, with tears in his eyes, he repeated the words of Don Carlos, which is from a play by Schiller, who was quoting them from Julius Caesar, 23 years old, and still I've done nothing for eternity. And with emphasis, he smashes his hand down on the wine glass, breaking it, cutting himself, and bleeding on the table. This is rather typical of living out, in some ways, a dramatic life from books, from ideas, from the whole spirit of the romanticism. But the point here was serious. The goal of all of these young intelligenti was to serve some higher goal in life, contribute to eternity, as he said. And Belinsky shared in this sort of passion, this search for purpose. Now, all of this passion was dedicated to ideas. So what were these ideas for Belinsky? According to Belinsky himself, in a letter he wrote just before his death, his ideas passed through three main stages. His words, God was my first thought, humanity my second, and man, the individual that is, my third and final. One need only add that each stage was logically, or perhaps better to say, intuitively connected to the next. Let's follow this path with him. I already mentioned Belinsky's struggle with theodicy, with this eternal question of the existence of evil in a world supposedly created by God, who by definition is good, this problem of theodicy. Belinsky's solution, an argument, by the way, increasingly common to many 19th century Russian and European thinkers, was, well, obviously, there can be no God since evil is so palpable. And indeed, this sort of atheism was becoming increasingly widespread in the Russian intelligentsia. His second major intellectual struggle was connected to this first problem, but with a less easy solution. How do you explain evil at all? How do you explain human evil in the world? Now, you remember that like other educated Russians of the 1830s, Belinsky was enamored with German idealistic philosophy, especially Schelling and Hegel. He had to read it in translation, but nonetheless, that didn't stop the intensity of his embrace of these ideas. And as we've seen, these works, especially Schelling, taught that everything that exists in the world is a manifestation of the absolute, of the spirit that connects everything. In other words, that everything that exists in the world, every individual thing, is an embodiment of the totality of all things. It's part of a higher harmony. If so, sort of like the problem with if God exists, how, if everything is connected and part of a totality, can so much obvious evil exist in the world? So much that was so contrary to one's liberal, enlightened ideals. And Belinsky concluded, because he had to find an answer to this question, and many others around him came to the same conclusion, he concluded that the only correct philosophical response to all of this evil was to say, all is as it should be. And reading Hegel seemed to really convince him of this. Hegel at one point wrote in one of his famous works that all that is real is rational. And now whether Hegel himself actually meant to try to provide in this phrase philosophical justification to everything that exists, to the status quo in the world, is controversial. In fact, I should mention that Hegel also identified struggle against evil, conflict, as at the very essence of reality. But whatever Hegel's actual view, what really mattered is how Belinsky and others around him read this phrase, all that is real is rational. This was in 1839, 1840, when these discussions were going on, and Belinsky, like many others in his circle, read this in a conservative way. Here he seemed to find a solution to this terrible clash between ideals and reality. The answer? Reconcile yourself with reality. Reconcile yourself even to evil. And he actually described this enlightenment, if that's what it is, in a letter. He says, quote, I now look upon reality, which I used to hold in such contempt, and I tremble with mystic joy, recognizing its rationality, realizing that nothing in it may be rejected, nothing could be condemned or spurned. Now, he didn't deny that evil existed in the world. On the contrary, he continued to speak of it, mainly in letters and in conversations, and he even spoke of the evil of the world as disgusting and vile and ugly and dead and oppressive.